Bueno, ya veníamos riéndonos de antes. Estoy con Jason, con Eric y con Stephen de The Fever 333. 333.
Or whatever you want, man.
You know that's difficult to pronounce.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Is it? Fever 333.
333. Well, in Spanish at least it's
called. Right. 333.
333, exactly. The Fever 333. The band has a kind of a short history right now, but you've done a lot so far. And you have a record in this time, in this era. That's a lot already. So are you happy with your first record?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we did exactly what we wanted and how we wanted to do it. And that's kind of all we can do. That's the only way that this project will operate and be able to successfully operate is just doing what we want to do.
I see that your influences are a lot of 90s rock and roll, maybe Rage Against the Machine, a little punk rock, Californian punk rock,
yeah.
And that kind of scene. And at the same time, it sounds very 21st century.
Yeah.
How did you do that? How did you manage that sound?
I think John helped that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, John and Travis, like, the way they produce, I think they're very just good with making things sound like, I don't know, just like unique and kind of like forward thinking, kind of like the future standard for like a lot of this kind of like heavy stuff, you know.
Right.
So I think our influences plus them and their help has just kind of made it sound the way.
I mean, were those the bands that you listened to as kids? Rage Against the Machine, Blink 182,
yeah.
Kind of bands?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, we grew up in that era, and then we also remain. Before we are people in a project or a band, we are music fans. So we still like constantly share music with each other, look for new music. So I think that it has a lot to do with the way that we operate. And again, the way that we are able to keep things as current as we can is because we just are constantly finding new music that we love as well.
After hanging out with musicians, touring around the world, being in festivals, you have made friends with these guys that you went to see as a kid, that maybe you idolized. Well, for example, Travis Barker is your friend. He plays in a lot of your songs.
Yeah.
How does that feel? Do you realize that it's kind of special, or you're already musicians and it's the normal life of everyday life?
Obviously, at first, you go through that phase. But once you start to relate to them and you find out that you grew up on the same music and you kind of have the same artistic goals, it stops feeling strange in any way, and you just kind of enjoy the fact that you get to learn things from their experiences, and when they're open to what you have to offer, it makes it that much more rewarding. So in general, I feel like that's been one of the best experiences of this project, moving as fast as it has, is we realize how open-minded all the people we look up to actually are when they talk to us, and we get to kind of share stories and everything else.
I've never seen you live yet. I will see you live in an hour, more or less. But it sounds like the show must be fun and entertaining. And at the same time, you have a strong political message. You address political subjects, and we are living in convulsed times. So how do you mix those two versions of your music? Maybe the fun, jump around stuff and the more political and serious stuff?
Freedom. It's all a representation of freedom. You know, our physical representation, our ideological representation, the emotional representation. It's just about being free, man. So when we're on stage and we're having fun, it's because we're liberated. It's because we feel free to do so, and creating an environment where people can feel, hopefully feel the same. And that's all we want to do, is offer a space for people to have these discussions, to be who they want to be who they know they are, and to be free. You know, that's really, it's about empowerment.
Do you feel that you are able from the stage to transport that message to the people that you're seeing your music?
We can only hope.
We try our best.
We try our best. You know, I think if you start to assume anything, then that's when you start to fail. And we're not assuming anything. We're just trying our best to make that that possible for people.
Okay, one more, and I won't entertain you any longer, but you're in Lollapalooza, you're in Buenos Aires. I don't know if when you started the band you thought about being so far away from California. You will play for people that maybe don't know the band. Maybe they come see early, you know, oh, there's a band playing, the name is fun, I will see what it is. How do you address that, people? How do you get them into your proposition, into your music?
We do the same thing every single time we go on stage, and we just be honest. You just open up a space for honesty, transparency, and if you're honest enough, I think that people can at least find a way to relate, even if it's not necessarily your narrative or their narrative or story. It's more so just an essence of honesty that is attractive, because that's what we want to see. when we see other artists. That's what we want to see when we see other activists. That's what we want to see when we meet other people, just people. I think a sense of honesty is the most important thing that we can offer on stage. And even if you don't know the music, or, you know, it's, again, it's a feeling that we would like to hopefully assimilate from stage onto the crowd.
Okay, thank you very much, guys. Jason, Stephen y Arik de Fever 333, de Fever 333, la propuesta más pesada de Lollapalooza 2019, por lo cual yo les estoy muy agradecido. I'm saying that you're the heaviest band in Lollapalooza 2019, and for that I'm grateful.
All right. Until Bring Me Place Chelsea Smile.
Yeah. Until Bring Me Place Chelsea Smile.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.